This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
There I was. I was back in the airport. And so they rolled me up, you know, they rolled me up to the terminal. And I roll up and I'm in a wheelchair. And so you know what that means? I get to skip the line. Focus on your strengths, people. And so they roll me up and they say, this is going to be a full flight. I said, no worries. And so, you know, they roll me down that long terminal. The plane started to fill in and, you know, people are looking at me and then looking away. And no one wants to sit next to me. Have you ever felt like you were invisible? Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough? Look around the room. When I was a young kid, I didn't realize this whole package I had going on. I thought I was just a normal kid living life, but other people let me know that I was different. And so there was a time, I was probably in third grade, and it was a hot summer day. And I remember it was hot because when I jumped off onto the field, my butt cheeks were on fire. And so, you know, I jump out of my wheelchair, we're about to play recess, and the kids are playing kickball. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna play kickball. And I remember, here I am, you know, every game at that age is like the World Series. So I'm freaking out, I just scored. I'm waiting for someone to pour some water on me or Gatorade. And the pitcher walks up and the catcher said something that I'll never forget. He said, how are you gonna let a cripple score on you? I'm in third grade. I don't even know what this word means, but I know that it's negative. I know that it had this negative connotation. And so this was my first glimpse of, why me? Raise your hand if at least one time in your life you said, why me? Look around the room. It's everyone. And so for me, I'm like, I just beat you fair and square. I don't even have legs and I beat you. Like, why call me these names? I don't get it. Why me? As I got into middle school and high school, I was still at this low point of my life, this victim mentality. I was still asking myself, why do I have to be born like this? Why do I have to be born with no legs and one arm? Why do the kids have to make fun of me? Why do I have to go through these challenges? And so I asked myself, Nick, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do to get yourself out of this hole? And so sophomore year came around and my older brother was a wrestler. All my best friends were wrestlers, and I just thought wrestlers were the coolest thing in the world. You know, I always looked up to wrestlers, and so, you know, I thought about it. And I came into school one day, and my friends were like, Nick, you always tell people to try new things, you know, get out of your comfort zone. Why don't you try wrestling? And I said, I can't, my arm. And what I mean by that is this arm, let me pull this guy, it looks like a potato. We call it the potato now, it used to look like a chicken wing. And so basically, this arm was about 5 inches longer than it is now. And my bone was growing faster than my skin. If I would have hit my arm hard enough, my bone would have came through my skin. And so I was thinking of a way how I could become a wrestler. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna figure this out. And so I came home one day, I'm sure my mom remembers this very clearly. I waited for both my parents to come home and I sat them down and I said, Mom and Dad, I wanna be a wrestler. My mom was like, oh no, Nick. God forbid, you know, wrestling's the most physical sport. What are you gonna do if your bone comes through your skin? What are you gonna do then? I looked at them and I said, can we cut it off? They said, first off, Nick, the right word is amputate. You're so aggressive with your words. I said, all right, I'll use your vocabulary. Can we amputate my arm? And you know, my sophomore year, my parents went ahead and scheduled the appointment for me to amputate my arm. My parents didn't give me everything. They put my clothes in front of me and said, Nick, figure it out. In the most polite way. Or they put the food in front of me and they said, Nick, figure it out. I wasn't coddled. The biggest advantage I had by my parents raising me that way is my parents helped me exercise the muscle of falling on my face and getting back up. I remember how excited I went back to school. I looked at these people. I said, I'm gonna become a wrestler. you know, people laughed. Nick, let's be real. Let's be real. How are you going to become an athlete, let alone a wrestler? You have no legs and one arm. But listen, in life, we're always going to have the outside noise, right? We're always going to have the outside noise, the haters, the naysayers, the people that tell us that our goals are too big, that we're not good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, whatever it may be. But we all have a choice. The choice is you can let the outside noise affect you or drive you. What's it going to be? And so I looked at these people. I said, you're right. What was I thinking? I'm not going to become a wrestler. I'm going to become a varsity wrestler. And you're going to watch. What are you willing to give up for your dreams? I hope it's not a limb like me. But what are those limiting beliefs that you need to let go? That you need to cut off? I had about 17 stitches in my arm, and I go back to school with this big smile. I swear I was the happiest kid that just cut his arm off. And I came off their mat after getting my butt kicked as usual. And I remember I'm there trying to catch my breath. And this lady comes up to me crying. I'm like, oh God, what did I do wrong? She gets down on my level. She said, Nick, I want to thank you. I said, for what? Did you see that performance? She said, it's much more than that. She said, my daughter's over there on the sideline. And she never wanted to do a sport. She never wanted to do an extracurricular activity, but seeing you out there, she wants to try all these things. You not only motivated her, you not only inspired her, but you shifted her perspective. And that's when I realized, like, oh my God, not only does this feel good that I'm helping people, but I was on the mat for myself. I was being selfish. I was trying to dig myself out of a hole. I wasn't trying to motivate and be inspiring Nick. I was just trying to dig myself out of a hole. But I realized that the impact was much more than me. And I also realized that all the things that I thought were disgusting about me, all the things that I thought were negative about me, the disempowering things, turned out to be my biggest empowerments and my biggest influences. Where would I be if every single time someone said, you can't do that, I was like, you're right, and I bowed down? Where would you be if every single time someone told you you can't do something, you listened to them? That's probably the same thing in your life, the things that you don't like about yourself. The things that you nitpick about yourself are probably the things that make you you. Your authentic you. That's how you're going to stand out in your personal life. That's how you're going to stand out in your business life, by being your authentic you. And so I realized not only is my situation kind of like a superpower, but this was fulfilling, helping other people. This phrase that I kind of frame my whole life on is, it's not can't, but how. I can't do this because I'm not tall enough. I can't do this because I don't have the resources. I can't do this because I'm not old enough. Whatever it may be, we all have these limiting beliefs, right? I may not have legs, but I'm here to make a massive footprint in this world before I leave. Come on. Go. Come on. Because the one thing I've realized, and I'm saying this as a brother, is no one's coming to save you. No one's coming to save you. The only person that's going to make a drastic change in your life, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the only person that is going to dig you out of your hole is who? You. It is emotionally impossible. Emotionally impossible for you to feel grateful and sad at the same time. Grateful and angry, whatever it may be, the emotion of gratitude literally outweighs all the negative emotions. Starting your day off with gratitude is starting your day off on the right foot. And so, you know, when I was sitting on that plane, Everyone started to fill in, and no one wanted to sit next to me, I started looking at the window and I was crying. I was trying not to let these other people know I was crying, and I was going through my head. I said, Nick, what would you tell the kids? What would you tell the adults? Practice what you preach. What would you tell them? And I said, it's the meaning I attach behind this. I could become the victim of the situation, or I could become the victor of the situation. What's it going to be? And so finally, two gentlemen had to sit down, and I'm thinking. I finally realized it's a power of reframing. I said, I can sit here and cry all the way home. I can let this affect my day, my week, my month. Or Nick can celebrate the fact that he has the most leg room in this plane. In the snap of a finger, I took a situation that was disempowering, where Nick was literally crying on a plane, and I turned it into an empowering situation where I'm sitting here cracking up. I'm like, you guys pay a lot of money for this. It's all about the meaning you attach behind things. This, and the reason why it's so near dear in my heart, it saved my life. I love this quote by Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela says, I don't lose, I only win or learn. In life, there's only winning or learning. And once you realize that all your problems become gifts once you learn from them. You know, we think all these things are bad, but in the grand scheme of life, they teach us something. Back to my one finger, there's always one thing that you can pull out of any negative situation, whether that is a different perspective, a different piece of knowledge, a different way to go about life, a different sense of gratitude. Whatever it may be, there's always one piece of good information that you can take from a loss and extract that good and turn it into a W. That's all I wanted people to see, because in life, life all deals is a deck of cards, right? You may think your deck of cards is amazing. You may think your deck of cards is mediocre. You may think your deck of cards is very bad. But it's our duty to play that hand to the best of our ability if you agree, say yes. We have to play the hand we gave us to the best of our ability. We gotta focus on the things we do have. You have to focus on your strengths and do the things you do love about yourself, because I promise you, when you focus on your strengths and the things you do love about yourself, it'll always outweigh all those negative things.
The most attractive thing you could be is different.
Thanks for listening. Kindly support the movement of this podcast by supporting us or subscribing to our premium content for more exclusive stuff. When you do so, you also get a shout out in our next episode. Thank you.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.